Okay, I'm Ronaldo Lemos. I'm the project lead for the Brazilian Creative Commons project. And before I start, I just would like to ask, where do you find these nice t-shirts? Like, because I only have the beige one. Like, I don't have this blue nice one. So if you can tell me afterwards, that would be really nice. Okay, so I would like just to make an introduction and explain a little bit about the project in Brazil, how it works. I will first give you like an institutional context, an institutional background about what you're doing in Brazil. And then I'll explain a bit about the Brazilian scenario. I'll give you like, talk a little bit about the Brazilian contribution to the project. And then let's talk a little bit about the future. The project in Brazil is run by this institution called the Fundação Getúlio Vargas, which has been around for around like 60 years, and it's mainly a business and economics institution, very well known. And just to give you an idea, it's the institution responsible for measuring the inflation rates. So whenever you read the inflation rates in Brazil, it's this institution which measures it. 2 years ago, it decided to create like two law schools, because the main goal of the institution is like to think Brazil in the long term. It's like institutional thinking about what Brazil should become, like how institutions in Brazil should deal with the law, and like so it was pointless not to have a law school. So two law schools were created, one in São Paulo, the other one in Rio de Janeiro. In my law school, the one in Rio, it has like three centers, one for the judiciary reform in Brazil, the other one for corporate law, and my center, the one I am the director, which is the Center for Technology and Law. This center has several projects. We are dealing with helping the government to implement all of its free software policy. You probably read it in the newspapers. Just like 5 days ago, there was like a brief story in the New York Times about how free software is spreading in Brazil outside the government. So it's not only anymore like a government thing, but like the banks and the private sector is starting like to adopt the free software. And we are doing like all the legal background and institutional background for that. Also, we are helping the Ministry of Culture to implement this digital policy. It's a very complex policy. It starts with like, I'll be talking about that in the afternoon, this afternoon. But basically, it starts with free content like Creative Commons, then it goes through a database for assembling all this free content. And then we have like community radios and like ways to deliver this content and make them, you know, the content accessible for anyone in the country. Then we have been working with the Ministry of Justice. We are working with the Ministry of Foreign Relations for the World Summit. And we are dealing with telecommunications reforms like digital TV and stuff like that. And we have the Creative Commons projects. Let me tell you a little bit about the scenario for music in Brazil. As you know, Brazil is a very musical country. Everybody is sort of like a musician and doing musical work. What's the chance for you to become like a pop star in Brazil? Warner Brothers is our largest recording company. I would ask you, how many artists do you think Warner Brothers has nowadays in its catalog? Brazil has 167 million people and a lot of musicians. How many? You can't answer because you know the answer, you know? So how many do you think? Like,
At least one. Okay.
Yeah, Gilberto Gil. Besides Gilberto Gil, who's an artist for Warner, who else? How many others? Like, make a guess. Like, 400? Any other guesses?
A thousand.
Okay. 100,000? No. Okay. So I'll tell you how many. It's like we have Warner now. Nowadays, today, it has 6 artists in its catalog. So if you consider that we have like 5 major companies, we have around like 40 artists or maybe less who are being sponsored by a record label. What's the result of that? Brazil does not know its own culture through the traditional means. So we really, there's a huge demand for something like the Creative Commons in Brazil, because otherwise you'll be listening to the same 40 artists that are on the radio, on TV, because they are being sponsored by 5 companies and they are so few. At the same time this happens, like there's a huge creativity going on in Brazil. One example is this band, Mombojó. I actually have the CD here, but you don't need the CD. You just go to the website, and they have all the MP3s downloaded. Mombojó is probably the most sophisticated Brazilian music being made as of today. It's like, it's a great band. It's amazing. It's like electronic music mixed with the traditional Brazilian music. It's really, really cool. And what's even more interesting about it is that Mombojó is in Creative Commons. They are like making available all of its work like in the website. And so the thing is, the best Brazilian music you can find today is very sympathetic to the Creative Commons project. Then you have another interesting history story going on in the north of the country. We have this big movement called Tecnobrega. It's a mixture between techno and a very cheesy type of music called brega. It would be something like techno kitsch or something like that. Techno cheesy, or I don't know. This techno brega attracts huge crowds. It's like one concert can be like 15,000 people, and it's a big scene in the north of the country. But the interesting thing is, if you want to buy a CD of techno brega in a store, you can't. You simply won't find any, because the guys, the producers of Tecnobrega, they made an agreement directly with the street vendors, the same guys who sell like pirate materials. So instead of distributing them through the, you know, stores, they give it to the street vendors, and the street vendors sell their CDs for R$3. That means $1. And everybody's happy, their business model is very sound, they've been around like for a couple of years, and probably they'll be around for a couple more. So what happened? On June 4, we launched the Creative Commons in Brazil. Gilberto Gil, who's also our Minister of Culture, is like a very well-known artist, has released one of his tracks, Oslo Doom, for under the sampling license. The media was very interested about it because, as I told you, there's a huge demand in Brazil for these types of alternative models, because the traditional models are just, too narrow. And there's a lot of artists that are using the license, not only music, but like movie makers, writers. It's really has been amazing the response it got in Brazil. Here's just a picture of the launch. I wish I had a better one, but it was just last week, so I don't have a better than this. You can't, it's even hard to see Gil, but he's there. You can't believe me. So what's the Brazilian contribution to the Creative Commons? Now, the sampling license that has always been supported by Gilberto Gil and by FGV, the Fundação Getúlio Vargas, has even been renamed Recombo. And Recombo is a sort of recognition about a Brazilian artistic group called Recombo that has been already using a sort of Creative Commons model before Creative Commons. They were like Creative Commons avant la lettre. So that's what Recombo was. They even wrote a license. It's called a Recombo license, even before Creative Commons. Now they're really friends with us, and the sampling license has been renamed Recombo, sort of to recognize the great work and the fact that they were pioneers in Brazil. And also we have like the CC GNU GPL and the CC GNU LGPL, which is a way we found to translate the licenses into Portuguese, because like the original Free Software Foundation licenses, they cannot be translated into Portuguese. So we made in last December, with the help of Professor Lessig, a move in order to assemble, to wrap the Free Software Foundation licenses into the Creative Commons models. Now we have like the three layers and everything. And we were able to translate these in Portuguese. Why is this so important? Because like the Brazilian government needed a license in Portuguese to carry on with its free software project. So that was like a very important thing that we contributed like to the Creative Commons, you know, project in Brazil, and I guess to the world. So what's the future? We have this project called Canto Livre, which is a sort of alternative compensation system, and a very avant-garde, you know, a very daring project that I'll be talking this afternoon at 1 o'clock in the alternative compensation systems panel. We have made a very important alliance with the Association of Independent Musicians in Brazil. They have like 4,000 artists, but they have 15% of market share, and they want to work with us so that probably all their catalog, or I hope most of its catalog, will be licensed under the Creative Commons. And we are starting to work with the Brazilian TVs. We have two public TVs, so in a BBC like move, we will probably try to license their catalogs, their historic catalogs, in the Creative Commons licenses as well. And finally, we are doing a very strong job in trying to gather alliances, not only in Brazil, but abroad. The Canto Livre project is something that we are going to develop the technological side of it with the Berkman Center, the MIT Media Lab, and the Gartner Group and some other partners in Brazil, because it has to do with ACS. And we are doing an alliance with the Brazilian Federal Communications Commission, Anatel, as well. And finally, we are doing an alliance with the Ford Foundation in Brazil. Next week, we'll have like a meeting, and it seems that the Ford Foundation will be supporting ways to make Creative Commons even broader and more relevant in Brazil. So, thank you. That's our website.